Welcome to Pizza Rainbow episode 28.
We're back. It's been a while. Deal with it.
Woohoo. It's been 3 weeks. But we're back, baby. We're back.
We're super back.
So this episode, we catch up on what's been happening in the past 3 weeks, which includes a lot of pop culture talk.
It's a lot.
It's just a special 4th of July episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's jam-packed. It's like the fireworks of podcasts.
Celebrate!
Yeah.
What's up, Jen Paulson?
Not much. What's up with you, Amber?
Welcome back.
We're back.
It's been like, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, someday there'll be a long, we'll recover our last episode.
Yeah.
And it'll be the lost episode.
It was a good one, too. I was bummed.
It really was. We were not sober, but we weren't drunk.
That's right. We were drinking some white wine.
Yeah.
Some Chardonnay.
It's like a wasted bottle of white wine.
I know.
In retrospect.
Yeah, we weren't drunk, but there is definite, like, wine-soaked moments.
I said things I shouldn't have said, and to a certain degree, I'm okay with that. Not.
But they were hilarious, yeah. So it doesn't matter. Yeah, so then, and then we took the last couple weeks off just because it was summer. And it's like, in the summer, I feel like when you live in Minnesota, like you get a hall pass for certain stuff. Like if it's a beautiful Tuesday or Thursday evening, you get a hall pass to go have happy hour on a patio with friends.
Yeah. Or to go home and take care of your animals.
Or that.
Or to stay until work until 8 o'clock at night.
No, boo.
It happened to me once.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I made money.
It's the eve of 4th of July weekend.
It is.
So I feel like a lot of people are kind of like going out and doing stuff tonight because nobody has to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have like some like little things that are happening.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I'm going to do any of those.
Yeah.
I would love to do all of them.
Right.
But then another part of me just wants to go home and...
Like what little things?
I just have some friends that are like hanging out in backyards and going to bars and things like that. But I'm just pooped out. Like I'm just tired.
Are you?
I'm so tired.
Then maybe you should rest up because it's supposed to be a pretty fun weekend.
Well, yeah. Tomorrow I have like 2 parties.
Yeah.
And a date at the same
popular.
Time.
Just like popular. I have like 2 parties and a date.
I know.
Well, that's fun. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to party it up with the Hot Twins tonight, so I'm going to see if they want to do stuff. But
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that is kind of fun. I don't know. We the Roto Room is closed this weekend, and I FaceTimed with my niece and my sister-in-law today, and we literally cannot remember the last time that we haven't been up at my parents' house on the lake for 4th of July. So it feels weird. Like, it feels... really weird to like not be working on a Friday and Saturday and to like have that whole weekend open.
Mm-hmm.
But then also it feels weird to like be in the city and not in the Northwoods for the 4th of July. But I think it'll be fun. I'm going to go to a party on Friday. I'm gonna hang out with Katie. I'm trying to get her to go to Magic Mike with me. And then on Saturday, I think I might go to the Against Me Dillinger 4 like all day punk rock festival at Triple Rock. So...
cool.
Yeah, so that might be fun.
Yeah, 4th of July, I usually end up staying at home because my dog's terrified of fireworks.
I know, that sucks.
So.
Yeah.
It is what it is. She's a pretty good dog.
Maybe you should have people over then and make kind of like a party out of it.
Yeah, we'll see. I would love to, but I just don't want to like have people over and then have both of the dogs need to be inside and then have my other roommate, you know, kind of in charge of that.
Yeah, I feel you.
I don't want to put her through that. But we'll see. Yeah. It's got to be a balance somehow.
Yeah. A big Independence Day balance.
Yeah, or just a bunch of days where I'm just relaxing.
Yeah, hardcore chillaxing.
Yeah.
It's what America's all about, Jen Paulson.
I really want to do it.
Yeah, I think you should.
I moved my bed.
You did?
Yeah, so that my head wasn't pointing north.
Nice. Apparently feng shui.
That's bad.
Good feng shui, I like it, yeah.
So I don't know if it's really working.
No?
We'll see.
Do you feel more rested?
I don't feel as... I think I'd feel more rested if I got up when I fucking woke up.
I feel like that too for me.
Because I don't feel like that's... I can really even judge based on that. Because, you know, sometimes you're just like, no, I'm going to sleep in. And it's like, if you would have got up...
Yeah.
Like, right when I woke up at, like, 5,
mm-hmm.
I would have felt perfect. But instead, I went back to bed and, like, slept for 15 minutes, woke up, slept for 15 minutes, woke up. And then when I went in, it was time to get up, I was like, no...
Yeah, I've been doing that this week too because I'm dog sitting for 2 dogs that want to get up at like 5 or 6 o'clock to be let out. So then I get up and I let them out, and then I want to crawl back into bed, but then I end up sleeping for like 4 more hours. And then I wake up and it's that like feeling of, you know, when you oversleep for a nap and you wake up and you're like groggy and disoriented and like you've lost so much time in your day. So that hasn't been cool. Today was ridiculous though. I'm like, there's no fucking way that like I'm getting up and like functioning at 5:30. But
yeah,
I'm making an effort. I'm getting up a lot earlier than I used to. So
good. Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a good place to wake up.
Yeah. It's really nice. And
there are two garages.
Kind of.
So that's a garage and that's a garage and they're both their garages.
Yeah, like one is like a storage garage, okay. And then it's the like porch, the wraparound Four Season porch.
Okay.
And then the other one is like the car garage.
Okay, got it.
So yeah, for listeners who are listening, I'm house sitting at my friend Chelsea and Matt's house.
And for you listeners that aren't listening, pay attention.
Come back to us.
Yeah, pay attention.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's been fun. Good little catch-ups. Fourth of July, Independence Day. Happy birthday, America.
Yeah, good job, America. You kept it together, kind of.
You sure did.
Happy rainbow flag.
Oh, my
Everybody
God.
Everybody can get married Independence Day.
I'm so excited. That makes, like, Fourth of July that much sweeter. Like, to know that, like, my country actually did something right by doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, extremely disappointing to me that it was so close, though.
Me too. But...
And that if, like... Obama hadn't appointed like two of those judges in the 8 years, like in the time that he's been.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah. That's Which is scary. Why like this next election is going to be so incredibly important.
Yeah.
Because there's so many landmark things that have happened in the past like 4 years that I'm terrified that someone else is going to come into office and like try to dismantle all of that good work. Which, I mean, that's going to totally be the Republican Party's agenda. But this isn't a political podcast, so we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah,
but.
Mike Huckabee, you fucking idiot.
So dumb.
Guess what? You're not going to be president anyway, you fucking dumb asshole.
I am delighted, however, with Donald Trump's recent comments about Mexican immigrants, because it's really super fun to see somebody dig their own grave.
He totally fucked himself. He's dumb.
And like, he's crazy. Like, if anybody ever looks at his Twitter feed at any point in time, like, the guy is batshit crazy. And I say that with love for his like show The Apprentice and like his business acumen. Like, I respect the business person that he is. But when it comes to like politics or anything else, I'm just like, you are such like, you're a crazy idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. Just.
And he like talks smack about like, he's so like. I don't know. Like, he's like the batshit grandma who starts a bunch of drama in the retirement home. Like, all he does on his Twitter is, like, insult Rosie O'Donnell. Like, all these
other
people.
He won't even let it go. It's been fucking 100 years.
It's incredibly entertaining. But, yeah, it's really nice to see somebody who's, like, a presidential hopeful, like, completely dig his own grave. So
not a presidential hopeful.
He's running for president.
I know, but he's not hopeful. It's not going to happen.
My concern is that I think we might be surprised with how many people are like, well, I mean, if he could make all that money for himself, like, imagine what he could do for America. And that's what he's going to run on to.
Yeah, well, he's not going to go very far.
I hope not.
I don't think
Fingers crossed.
I don't think that many people respect him, period.
I don't think so either, but there's always a contingent in America, as we well know, that, like, they're dumb. Blind followers. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. But anyways, yay America, yay gay marriage, yay it happening right before Pride weekend that, like, made me so incredibly excited.
Yeah, and it's like, yay Donald Trump for finally fucking doing something so stupid it just gets him smacked hard.
And, like, fired from everything.
Yeah. Feels it's good.
How effing ironic is it that he got fired from the event?
You're fired.
You're fired, Trump.
Instead of being like, you're fired, you're like, I'm fired. There really needs to be something on the internet.
Somebody has to do it for like Funny or Die or something.
Yeah, they should get Daryl Hammond to do it. Just so he can like point a finger in his own face. Yes. And be like, you're fired.
Oh my God, SNL. Oh God, that'd be so good.
Right now?
I don't know.
I know, summer, but still.
Still, that's going to be so amazing. Anyways. That's awesome. Did you do anything for Pride?
No.
No?
No. It's kind of like still prime fireworks season.
Okay.
So I kind of stay close to home.
Yeah, for the dogs.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That's kind of ridiculous.
That's not interesting.
I mean, I get it. You're a good dog mom, but that sucks.
I thought it was a very interesting thing on Facebook where it's like, it was like a sign in the yard where like a combat veteran lives here.
Oh.
Like, be careful, you know, and to be careful about like fireworks.
I bet.
And I was like, that's really interesting.
That's incredibly like, that's really smart.
Yeah, and just like kind of went around Facebook being like, you know, if you're gonna, you know, light out fireworks, that's cool, but just make sure your neighbors are okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, and it always seems to like happen at 1 o'clock in the morning. Like in my neighborhood, it's one of those things where like it's 1 or 2 o'clock and somebody's lighting off fireworks. And I am always a little hesitant because I'm like, are those fireworks or are those gunshots? But then you can tell they're fireworks. And it's like, if you want to light them off, like I personally don't have a problem with it. I don't care. I know that it really upsets dogs. And yeah, like combat veterans, that would be a huge issue. But it's also the thing of like, light them off at like 9 or 10 o'clock before people go to bed. But then you know that the people who are lighting them off are just assholes. And like, they're delighting in the fact that it's waking people up. So.
Yeah. Well, nah, shit. In my neighborhood, and I live in North, so it could be a fucking gunshot too.
Yeah.
But no, nah, whatever. That's a tired old North side joke. But it, I mean, it starts, like, it's, like, all fucking day.
Yeah.
I mean, it, like, during the week. It's happening at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous.
All night long. Not all night long, but a lot.
All night long.
Fireworks. All night.
Fireworks. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I went to the Uptown Block Party for Pride Weekend and was sorely disappointed by it.
Why?
It just, I think it was poorly laid out in terms of, like, you walked into the block party and immediately, like, to your left was one booth to get a wristband so that you could buy beer, and then a booth right next to it for you to buy beer. These were the only places in the entire block party that you could get, from what I saw. I could be wrong, so, like, if somebody's like, that's not right, go ahead and correct me. But it was the only place to get beer. So it's these huge, long lines. And, like, I feel like, okay, 331 at Arterworld did it right, where you stand in line to get a wristband. And the minute you get a wristband, you can also order a beer. That's not how they did it. Like, you get a wristband, and then you have to get in another line to get a beer. And, like, for me, I'm just like, there's no fucking way. Like, I'm not spending an hour trying to get a beer at a block party. And especially when it's like PBR is $6. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So we actually left and we went to a Mexican place, Kitty Corner, from the block party and had $5 margaritas, and it was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. So we missed the block party, but I don't know. Like, I wanted to kind of, like, my favorite thing about Pride is like being out and seeing people and like seeing friends I haven't seen before and just kind of like being part of like the spirit of the celebration of the weekend. And I feel like this isn't the organizers of the block party's fault, but it was kind of this thing of like you walked in and immediately it was like a 21-year-old like vibe. Oh. In the way of like, we're 21 and we're here to drink and like we're at this block party. And it's like, that's not, I don't know. I know this is super idealistic, but it's like, it's this thing of like, if I'm going to a Pride event, like I feel like myself and so many other people are going to these Pride events to like spread love and like acceptance and excitement, and like it's kind of like this like really cool trippy weekend where like everybody's happy and friendly and awesome, and like the vibe of like, I don't know, the vibe of 21-year-olds who are there just to get drunk and don't even really respect how important it is that we can have something like this. That's like not my jam. So
it's, yeah, understandable.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So. Well, that's not good.
Mm-mm. So, yeah. But other than that, it was super fun. It was a great weekend. So. Yeah.
I know. I don't usually go, but mostly because I don't really enjoy big crowds in hot weather.
Yeah. Yeah. Just saying that is like, ugh.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I don't want to sweat. I don't like to sweat. I don't want other people to sweat on me.
Right.
You know, unless, you know, they're hot and we're doing it. But, and even then, though.
That's different.
A little questionable. I don't know. But someday.
Yeah. There is a certain stress level that comes with like going to Loring Park, especially on Sunday when it's just like a huge mass of people all converging.
Hang on, this is like slow,
huge space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, Pride weekend, gay marriage, 4th of July, all fun stuff. Should we talk about...
Probably segue into leading, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, Bruce. It doesn't...
On that note, let's talk about Kardashians.
Let's talk about Caitlyn Jenner. Bruce doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, let's talk about Caitlyn Jenner.
And that's okay.
So I'm very, very, very excited for the new upcoming series, I Am Kate, on E!
Oh, E! Is doing that. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Super excited. As people who have listened to this podcast in the past know, like, I never watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It's probably one of the very few reality TV shows that I'm like, I have no interest in it. But a couple days ago, I was here and just, like, kind of zoning out in front of TV, and I turned into Keeping Up with Kardashians. And it was the two-part special about Bruce. And it was super interesting. It was really, like, it was a lot of different interviews with the family members and then them talking to Bruce about when he's planning on what he's planning on doing to become Caitlyn and all these other things. And the thing that I found so interesting was that one of the most vapid, materialistic, like meaningless reality TV shows in America has somehow and suddenly become one of the most cutting edge, intriguing, like progressive things I've seen in a long time.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
You should write that article for like The Atlantic or Slate or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's so, I don't know. I just like kind of sat back and watched it. And I mean, even people that are like, even Kim Kardashian, I don't feel like she gets enough credit where credit is due. But I also feel like she's not one of my favorite people. And some of the things that she stands for, I'm like, I don't care. But it is interesting to hear her talk about these issues in context of Bruce and Bruce becoming Caitlyn and realizing that, you know, these people can be stupid and like the show can be the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But at the end of the day, like watching a family go through this process and being willing to share it on a national platform. And yeah, like you can talk about how that they're trying to exploit it for personal gain or whatever, but it's so... I mean, look where we are now. Like, there's a reality show about a man transitioning into a woman. Like, that's crazy to me. And the fact that it's taking place on the Keeping Up with Kardashians platform is even crazier. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
When is that supposed to come out?
I Am Kate premieres at the end of July. I want to say, like, July 26th.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
They tend to be on a very similar time frame. They're not too far out from when the real things are happening. Like in real life, and then you're like, all right, give us a couple months.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's interesting. Blah. That's what's interesting about the season right now is that they're talking about Bruce's interview with Diane Sawyer and how that's happening 2 weeks. And it's like, wait, that just happened. So it's very timely. And you can tell that he like really pushed it out so that it was kind of mirroring what was happening in real life too. But
who knew that E would end up being so progressive?
I know. I mean, you gotta know that Ryan Seacrest is like doing a dance all the way to the bank.
Oh, because
this is like his show. So yeah, that's crazy. God damn it, Ryan Seacrest. Can we talk about Prairie Home Companion really quick? Have you heard the news about that?
I'd rather not, but let's.
So, did you ever used to like watch Prairie Home Companion or listen to it when you were younger?
I mean, I have. We used to keep it on in the basement when we'd crate Birdie when we left, and I think it made her into like an anxious dog.
Anxious, neurotic dog.
Yep.
So the news was released this week that Garrison Keillor is planning on stepping down in 2016. He wants to relax and read books. Which makes sense because he is also the owner of Comma Good Books, which is a very good bookstore in St. Paul. But he has picked his replacement to be Chris Thiele, who is...
The Nickel Creek guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he is amazing. Like, it's could not have been a better choice. And we were talking about it on MinSpeak today, and I really feel like Chris Thiele is to bluegrass what Chris Hardwick is to, like, nerd entertainment. Like, Chris Thiele has been headlining and organizing events in L.A. that Ed Helms has been a part of because Ed Helms is a huge bluegrass guy and he plays bluegrass too from The Office. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Andy Bernard.
Yep, Andy
Nerd
Bernard.
Dog.
But yeah, and like he's a very, I've seen him live at Big Top Chwapka He's a great entertainer. He's super talented. He's super funny too. Like, he's been on the Nerdist podcast and it's been hilarious. So yeah, I'm actually kind of excited. Like, I think I might actually like tune in and go to a show or something.
Oh, that's cool.
But the big speculation is whether or not it's going to still take place in Minneapolis or if they're going to move it to LA. Because that's where Chris's home base is. But I'm like, I feel like you can't really do that. Like, it's supposed to be in Minnesota.
Oh, yes. I feel like there's going to be a huge fucking backlash if they move it.
I think so, too.
There's going to be a lot of mad dads.
Yeah. Lots and lots of mad dads.
Mad dads.
Personally, I want Chris to move out to Minneapolis so I can stalk him and then marry him.
I think he's going to have to anyway.
He's going to have to. Chris, we want you to be in Minneapolis. You'll love it here.
Amber does. I'm kind of whatever.
He's super cute.
I'm sure that he is cute, but I'm just proud. I can't do it.
Speaking of that, how's online dating going?
I have a date with a guy that I'm going on an online date with this weekend.
Yeah.
And we've been talking.
Yeah.
And we haven't rushed it, and it's kind of nice.
That is nice.
So yeah, I'm kind of excited, except he's really busy. I'm really busy. So basically, we're hanging out, and he's hanging out, like, with my friends and me.
Okay.
Which I don't have a problem with that. Okay, but good. You've met my friends. Like,
yeah,
they're great, but it's for some people, if they're kind of introverted or whatever, which you might be a little bit, but it's a lot. So if it can he can be hang, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's a huge test of whether or not a guy can hang with your friends. Like, that's something that I feel like some relationships don't overcome.
You know, if you're going to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Friendship never ends, you piece of shit. Actually, in my case, friendship does end, but not very often. Oh, I have a good
story.
I have a good story to tell you after this. I'm not telling you, but
off the record,
remember to ask me the story I have.
Okay.
I'm going to get like one of those.
Is it a friendship story? Can I be like, Jen, tell me your friendship story and that'll trigger it?
Yeah, or ask me what the opposite of friendship story.
Opposite of friendship story. Okay, I'll write it down. What were you going to say?
Oh, I should make a name tag that says, ask me about my friendship story.
I will.
I will someday. No, you know, I'm just kind of, normally when I online date, if I get frustrated or nothing's happening or if I'm checking it too much or whatever, I'm just like, fuck this. And then I kind of like deactivate it.
Yeah.
Where I'm kind of just powering through and being like, whatever.
Yep.
Because it's not good for the back and forth.
No. And I have told clients that in the past too, is that you always are going to hit kind of like a plateau where you're going to get frustrated. You're not going to get like messages from the guys that you want. You're going to get tired of dating and you're going to be tempted to just like back out of the game. It's not like there's a difference between like being super burnt out and hating everybody on online dating. That's when you need to like bow out and take a break. But there's like a minor plateau that I really tell people that like you have to push through.
Yeah, like, why is anyone paying attention to me?
Yeah, and it happens to everybody. Like, that's the thing, is that like everybody goes through that phase of like, I'm not getting messages from guys I like, or like these dates aren't going well. And yeah, you just have to keep with it.
I think a lot of guys end up kind of staying on there even though they're seeing people.
Mm-hmm.
Where they don't like disable it as much as some people.
Yeah. There's a guy that I ran across his profile. I put it on my online dating diaries column where he's like, I'm in a relationship. Good luck. And I'm like, then fucking delete your profile, dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm in like, a relationship. Good luck.
I know. But like, and part of it too is like, I don't trust guys like that because it's like, why do you still have a profile?
Yeah.
Like, are you, is it like an ego boost for you of like you want to see how many girls still click on your profile even though you're in a relationship?
Oh, probably.
Or are you wanting girls to still message you and you're messaging them on the sly, but like if your girlfriend ever checks, like your profile looks like, you know what I mean? It's stuff like that where I'm like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the minute that you're in a relationship that you're really excited about, like deleting your OkCupid profile is like your favorite thing ever. Yeah. They're fine. The dog, for listeners who are listening, the dogs are barking. They are two dogs that I've never met two dogs who hate being outside as much as they do. Like, they don't want to, like, they don't want to stay outside, especially like the little one, Foo. Like, she, I don't, like, flabbergasting to me. Yes. It's good for them to be outside.
Because
so.
They're barking and then I'm making this like sad ASPCA face.
Like
sad
I'm torturing
face.
Them. Yeah.
No, you're not. But some dogs have those barks and you're just like, the dog is being killed out
and
there.
And she knows it though. Okay. Like she totally uses that bark to her advantage.
I'm wounded.
Yeah.
But just in my heart, my feelings.
No, and like look at this beautiful lawn that they can play in and like it's so nice out. So it's one of those things where it's like, you guys are fine. You can stay outside for a little while.
Yeah, leave the adults alone.
Yeah. Let the adults talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
How about online you? Dating. Is anything going on with you in online dating?
You know, there's been a couple of really cool messages from some cool guys, and we are now talking about getting an adult beverage together. But my week next week is whack because I'm in the middle of pushing out this fourth book. Like, it's literally ready to be done.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's a reincarnation of my first book, Holiday Chick, but it's been something that I've been working on for like the past year. So
you're basically like updating Holiday Chick?
I renamed it The Middle of Nowhere.
Okay.
I did a bunch of different edits to it. Basically, like what I'm going to tell people is that if you loved Holiday Chick, you are going to love this even more. And it's, I mean, that's kind of the nice thing about, like, doing your own thing is that, like, you can go back and change it whenever you want to. And it became a thing where I know it's never going to be something where I'm like, I'm 100% happy with it. It's perfect. I never want to touch it again. Like, I know that every writer feels that way about their book of, like, they would go back and change stuff. But it became a thing where if I could make these changes, I wanted to. So I did. And Kara is helping me redesign the cover. We're making it into like a legit hardback with like a dust jacket and everything.
Nice.
Which is what I wanted to do in the first place. But then, yeah, because like I wanted to make Holiday Chick into like a legit hardcover. And then I'm like, well, if I'm going to do that, then I might as well just like take the time and make all the changes that I want to. And I wasn't totally happy with the title Holiday Chick. And like, it became one of those things where like people would like... how do I say this? It became a thing where like I would tell people the title and they'd be like, Holiday Chick? Like, is it a Christmas story? And it was like a realization of like this title is not as clear to people as I would like it to be. So The Middle of Nowhere was a title that I came up with one of my editors, Drew. And I really like it. It's a part of the book and a part of the setting, but it's also like kind of an abstract concept of the book too. So, yeah. So I'm real excited.
That's good. And it's always nice to have an editor.
Yeah. And I'm really excited. It's wrapping up, which is really awesome. But that means that like all of my time is being spent like birthing this thing out. So it's really tough for me to like tell guys that, yes, I would like to meet you for an adult beverage, but I'm also really busy because I know that sounds like a total cop out, but yeah. So we'll see.
But you know you have to put your book first.
I have to put my book first. And I know they'll understand that too. So, yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, they seem cute. Seem fun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I can't stop putting my finger in here.
I know. Isn't it fun? There's like a groove in the table that we're at that's like...
Do people do this all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure it's that I wasn't fucking this table. For the first time.
You are kind of finger fucking it though.
It's so smooth. I'm stuck. I'm gonna send Chelsea an Instagram, be like, oh shit, I'm stuck on your table.
We'll record a video of you just like sliding your finger in and out of it. And we'll have like bounce
check out my
in the
vine.
Background.
Going at it. Oh, I thought I could get two in, but
oh,
I
my
can't.
God, girl.
You helped me
the
push that.
The hole's just so tight. You can't fit more than one finger in there.
Yeah, that's like some barely legal pussy right there.
God damn it.
Sorry. Well, now I don't even want to do it anymore. Now that
yeah,
it's,
I
now
wouldn't
that,
either.
Once I realized it's like people don't, that people do that all the time and it's not a virgin, I'm so uninterested.
So many entendres. It's crazy.
It's so amazing.
Speaking of fingering, let's talk about The Bachelor. Bachelorette, to be specific.
Oh, you got fingered, Caitlin.
Yep. Probably. She sure did. She probably got fingered. Well, I don't know.
Who cares? So, I don't. I read your recap.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I think he was being a little bitch, kind of.
Who, Sean?
A little bit.
Okay, let's catch listeners up on what's been happening if they haven't been watching the show. Basically, Caitlin brought Nick back onto the show, which we talked about on a previous podcast. And they ended up going on a one-on-one date in Ireland, in Dublin. And she invited him back to her hotel suite, and they ended up doing it. Like, not even like, oh, maybe we did it. It was like, no, straight up, they had sex.
She was, like, so stoked.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why would you turn that down?
So many reasons.
Okay, let me hear your reasons. I'm more of a slut than you.
I don't think that's true. I think it's more of... Like, okay, so the resulting media frenzy has been, like, slut-shaming her. And I hate the term slut-shaming. I refuse to use it, so I say sex-shaming. Because I think it's so, like, why the fuck are we using slut in a word when we're talking about not making girls feel bad about, like, slutty behavior?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, so people have been sex-shaming Caitlin for having sex on the show. She's not the first person who's done this. Both Juan Pablo and Ben, when they were bachelors, like, hit it before the fantasy suites, too. My thing about this is that to me, it doesn't matter that Caitlin had sex. Like, she can do whatever she wants with her body. She can go as far as she wants with whoever on this show. My issue is the fact that in the context of this show, I think it's really unfair to the other guys who are there. It shows that she's not quite as serious about finding a husband. And I say that in the fact of, like, I don't know. I just feel like if you are dating 10 different guys, which doesn't happen very much in real life. I guess to me, I feel like if I'm dating a bunch of different guys, I don't become exclusive with any of them until, like, I know I'm going to be exclusive with them. And that means having sex with them. So I think it gave Nick, I don't know. I'm not saying it as succinctly as I want to. I don't care what Caitlin does with her body, but in the context of this show, I think it was a poor decision. I think most of all, it was a poor decision with Nick because she spent the whole last episode worrying about the fact that he told other guys about that. And it was like, because he went on national television on the Men Tell All after Andy season and basically put her on blast for having sex with him in the fantasy suite. So if you're going to have sex with anybody before the fantasy suite and then worry about the other guys finding out, perhaps you should have done it with a guy who is nationally known history for doing that.
Yeah, and I didn't know that.
Yeah. The second thing is that I don't know. I feel like it wasn't fair to the other guys for her to do that. I don't know. I don't know. What about you?
I know that I couldn't go on The Bachelor at... the whole thing is, like, ridiculous. Not ridiculous, but... The whole last episode was insane. There was just so much emotion. I was just, like, just drained after I watched it.
Yeah. It was emotionally draining, for sure.
And I don't think she should have sent Ben Z home.
No. That was, like, I love Caitlin. I like her so much better this season than I did on Chris's show. Like, she's funny. She's sweet. I really enjoy her. But I just feel like her decisions are the worst. Like... She makes the worst decisions about who she wants to stay and who she's, like, sending home. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And granted, like, it's her show, it's her feelings, whatever. But Ben Z was the only one during this episode who didn't need constant reassurance from her that, like, she was in. And, of course, then he's, like, the one person that she sends home. It doesn't make any sense. Like, none whatsoever.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know.
He has to be the next Bachelor.
I think he's going to be.
I really hope so.
He's a huge fan favorite. Like, everybody's in love with him. Yeah. And he has a great backstory, too, with his mom dying. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. And I love Sean, Ryan Gosling lookalike. Like, I really like him. And the thing that I was so pissed about with this episode is that, like, yes, I feel like it was a little bit much for him to show up at Caitlin's hotel room like two nights in a row wanting to talk to her about the status of her feelings for him. But I thought it was really unfair that she put it on him that like she's reassured him too much. I don't think that's fair. Like if you, and again, like this is kind of in the context of Nick too, like there's a reason why you're contractually obligated to not tell somebody that you're in love with them until the final rose. And the reason why they do that is because it happened to Trista on her season with Andrew, whatever, and I don't know, Alex. So she was on with Alex, and it was the night before the final rose, and he basically told her, you're the one, right? And then, of course, the next day, he picks the other girl for the final rose. And she was pissed, like, rightfully so. And so they then put it in the contract that, like, you can't do that because it leads people on. It's unfair and it messes with their head. So the fact that Caitlin told Sean off camera, you're it, when he asked her if he was the one, like that was so fucking unfair. So of course he's going to be like, I would totally feel that way too, where it's like, if somebody told me that I'm the one, but yet like he's giving date roses to other guys and like taking them on special dates and not me, I would totally show up at his hotel room and be like, dude, what the fuck? Like, where are you at?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was pissed. And I mean, I guess that's the thing, is that like she is sending different signals and making decisions that like are not fair to the other people here.
Sometimes I like legitimately wonder if she's in this at all.
See, that's my issue.
And the only reason I say that is because when you watch her with the guys sometimes, mm-hmm. there's like sort of an uncomfortable air to her.
Yes, I agree with that.
So, I mean, I don't want to be what's his nuts.
Right.
What was that fucking guy's name? That one was like, I just don't think you're here for the right reasons. I think you're just here to...
Oh, Ian. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think, to a certain degree, was like a weird catalyst for her to be like, oh, really? Okay, I'm going to fuck this guy.
But she had sex with Nick before that. Before... Oh, no, she didn't. You're right. That's true. It's so, like, anybody who's not watching this season, usually they do the rose ceremonies at the very end of the episode. And they've completely, like, shaken it up so that rose ceremonies are happening in the middle of the episode.
Although this last episode, I think it happened right at the end. It happened more at the end. Which makes sense considering we're getting into the final
stretch. No, it happened. They did the rose ceremony at the middle of the episode. And then but another? She sent somebody home at the end of the episode. She sent Cupcake Chris home.
She sent Ben home first before she sent Chris
yeah,
home.
But that happened at the middle. Middle of the episode.
Oh. Cupcake, that guy just wasn't into Chris at all.
I thought he was really cute, but like nice. from the minute they sat down, I was like, no, this is that guy that we've all gone on dates with who like is super cute, super sweet, but like not like we don't want to fuck him. You know what I mean?
There's just not a physical connection.
No, not at all. And like he could tell too. Like it was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, like, and I wrote about this in my blog recap, but like Caitlin strikes me as one of those people that I think she thinks that she wants to find the person and settle down, but I think everybody else around her can kind of tell that she's not, like, psychically there yet.
Yeah.
And, like, the point that I made in my recap...
It's making the guys crazy and it's making her cry a lot.
Yes, it's making her super emotional. And I think, like, again, like, this isn't sex shaming anybody, but there's a thing that I have learned and that I feel like a lot of my other women friends have learned is that... If you want to go out and meet a bunch of really fun guys and like sleep with a bunch of really cute guys and just like have great fun dates and sex or whatever, totally do that. Like do it. But know that like when it comes to the universe, like doing things like that is like sending mixed signals. Like either you're in it to win it, which takes time and it takes like, I just thought it was so ironic when she said that to Joe where she's like, I'm here to find a husband and that takes time. And I was like, really? Because it didn't really take a long time with Nick. Like, I guess that's the thing where it's just like there's tons of couples out there that have fallen into bed on the first night and are now married and have kids. Like, I'm friends with one of those couples. But that's like a very lucky thing that happens. If you're serious about finding true love and you're serious about a relationship that lasts, there's a certain amount of slow burn and, you know, not giving into instant gratification in favor of long-term gain. I don't think Caitlin's ready for that. I don't think she's serious enough. And I don't love Britt. And I like Caitlyn more than Britt, and I'm glad that she's the Bachelorette. But there is a part of me that, like, if I were Britt, I'd be super fucking pissed. Because, you know, Britt would have, like, played that season totally different. Because, like, you can tell that Britt is, like, in it to, like, find a husband and, like, I don't know. I don't know. I'd be pissed. I'd be like, I could have totally had my chance to, like, find true love, and you fucked it up. Yeah, so.
Well, she didn't, so that's how it fucking works. You know?
But maybe she did with Brady. I'm so tired of the updates of Britt and Brady. I don't care less. Yeah.
Yeah, this season is, like, just almost too intense for
me. It's crazy. It's amazing.
Just, like, can you just... Not that I wanted to stop crying, but it's like, don't do the things that are going to make you cry.
Right. You did it to yourself.
Yeah, well, no, and I mean, I don't... Honestly, like, I was kind of rooting for them when that whole night happened, because it seemed like a really fun date. And, like, sometimes you just want to be in the moment. But clearly she regretted that decision.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think, I mean,
I would prefer if she didn't regret it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, like, ironically, it would feel so much differently if it would have happened with Sean or Benzie. The fact that it happened with Nick, like, that's where I'm like, that was such a bad decision. Like, that guy is nothing but slime. But, like, with Sean or Benzie, I feel like it would have been more of, like, a precious moment. You know what I mean? It would have been like, I don't know.
But maybe she doesn't want a precious moment. I mean, maybe.
Exactly. Then don't be the Bachelorette.
But then again, maybe that's not how she rolls sexually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, she sent Ben Z home. That says a lot about her and who she's attracted to.
Her decision making. Yeah.
Not a decision making per se, but I mean, obviously about decision making, but to a certain degree, if she's not that into him, like, let him go. Like, let him go back out into the world, into the pool of, like, other women who will adore him.
Good point.
He's gonna be
rolling in the pussy for the next, like, 10 years.
Yeah, he's fine.
He won't say that, but I will say that for him. Like, it's gonna be ridiculous.
He doesn't even have to be like, haha, that's funny. He can be like, guys, it's a little offensive. And I'd be like, yes.
You're right, Benzie. I'm sorry. I'm gonna clean up my language for you.
I'm not, but you're beautiful and wonderful and just such a sweet fucking hot dude.
So
how
great.
Can he be so hot? And so sweet at the same time.
I know. And be, like, such a great guy.
Just genuine.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about Sean, though, too. Like, I feel like he's super genuine and, like, I don't know. And Ben H, maybe. I like Ben H, too.
Maybe I'm just in this, I don't know why, but there's just something that is absolutely turning me off about Sean right now.
I can tell. Yeah.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on the fucking Bachelorette.
I know. See, that is a little frustrating where it's just like every season there's one person who does not seem to understand what the show is about and, like, has, like, a really huge struggle with, like, the fact that they are dating somebody who's dating other people. And it's like, dude, you actively, like, they didn't just, like, pluck you from a mall parking lot and was like, be in this great show. Like, you actively had to seek out this opportunity.
Yeah.
Therein, you have to know what it's all about. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And this is going to sound really bad, but when he's, like, really sad and upset, he is 100% not attractive.
Really? I think you're just uncomfortable with male emotions.
I'm uncomfortable with male emotions. Maybe I'm uncomfortable with male emotions on a television show where there were a lot of expectations that were already set up to begin with.
Totally. No, I get what you're saying.
I'm not uncomfortable with male emotions.
I know, I'm joking.
I'm uncomfortable with all emotion. Oh, honey.
I don't think you're alone, but I like Sean enough that I'm like, I don't care.
I didn't dislike him, but he could have handled it in a different way.
Yeah.
He just made it a little extreme.
Yes.
And that's almost always a turnoff.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
I agree with you.
Because, I mean, I think he was a real contender. I think that he almost went home.
I think he did, too. I think it was close.
But who's the other guy that's still left over Ben fucking Z? Joe? Is that his name?
Jared and Joe. Yeah.
Who's the one with the guy from Kentucky with the hair?
With the huge high forehead? That's Joe. Yeah. His forehead is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I love his like voice, like that Kentucky accent. I'm fucking in. But then you look at his like eyes to forehead to hair and you're like, you need bangs, motherfucker.
He is like a scrunched face though. Like it's totally like an Appalachia face where... Yeah, it's like there's been a little bit too much.
Too much mine and then your family tree.
Yeah.
way too much coke in your blood. I think you have the iron lung. The black lung, sorry.
Totally.
He's real sweet, don't get me wrong, but
he's real sweet.
You think he got the opportunity to like say his feelings to her and she can't? I don't know. To a certain degree, I think the producers had her send fucking Benzy home because they were like, all right, he needs to be the next. If you're, how into this guy are you?
Yeah.
People really like him.
Traditionally, though, it's the person who's like the third runner-up that ends up being the Bachelor or the Bachelorette because they're usually a fan favorite. They just don't have like quite enough chemistry with the Bachelor or Bachelorette to like go on to the second two or the last two. But I don't know. I mean, you never know.
I do like both Bens. It was a very weird conversation though when they were kind of...
Dude, it was so weird. Like nobody knew what the fuck he was talking about.
Which is kind of unfortunate because basically he handled the situation, you know, like in a calm way. Whereas Sean handled his in like a very intense
emotional way. Yeah.
But I found Ben to almost come off not in a good light. I mean, I know what he was trying to say, like if you're gonna do it, you do, I just don't wanna know.
Yeah.
But there's just something about it was like a little too calculated, maybe?
For people who don't know what we're talking about, so at some point at the week when they were in San Antonio, Caitlin snuck off camera down to surprise Sean and Ben H, who apparently were staying in the same suite. At some point, Ben H went to go take a shower and change because they were leaving the next day for Ireland. And when he came back, he told Caitlin that he could tell that the vibe in the room had definitely changed. And whatever she had said or basically insinuated that something happened between her and Sean that gave Sean a little bit more validation than the rest of the guys. And I think he was kind of insinuating that something physical happened, even though he kind of kept in the context of like you said or did something with Sean that like, and he's like, I don't want to know details, but I just need you to know that like it changed things for me and I need to know that I'm not just spinning my wheels. Ben H is interesting for me because I think he, I want to believe that he's a really good guy. But there's a thing about him that makes me feel like he's one of those really good guys that knows exactly like how to come off as a really good guy. Not saying that he isn't, but I think he's the type of guy who's like, yeah, I take trips in Honduras and help homeless kids.
He's
and
a politician, period.
Yeah, totally. And I think he's super sweet. I think he's super cute. Like I kind of wanted to do him after the two-step date, but I think he is one of those people that like, He has self-awareness at how endearing he's being.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. This episode was just like, God damn it. Like, stop talking. Like, let's do shit.
Yeah, let's actually stop talking about it.
Yeah, let's stop talking about it. I'm tired of this episode already. Next week, everybody's going to find out that Caitlin had sex with Nick and it's going to be amazing. Like, people get pissed.
And then it's okay. And then apparently you're okay with it.
Yeah.
But just when the guys get mad. It's not okay until the guys know.
It's going to be a huge confrontation. It's going to be amazing. All right. Anyways.
I'm glad that I'm not on that show because I would come off as a total fucking asshole. I'd be like, straight up, we're on a show where I'm going to find my husband. So sorry. I got to like, sorry if I have to check out some of your parts before I check out your other people's parts.
Which is totally fine, but, like, I think people just want that to happen. I mean, everybody knows that people have sex in the fantasy suite. Like, that's what it's for. It's the intimate overnight dates.
I just don't like the name of it.
I love it. I want my fantasy suite date.
It's like, I don't care how far I get, really, but just let me get laid out of it.
Exactly. All right, Bachelor off the list.
All right.
Speaking of amazing dramatics, can we just talk about A Deadly Adoption real quick?
Yes. Tell me about it.
Okay.
I haven't seen it because I don't have the time to watch
it. I would like
it.
To take this opportunity to create my platform about A Deadly Adoption. So.
Running for president, 2016.
A Deadly Adoption, for those who do not know or who haven't like done their research, is a Lifetime original movie starring Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig.
How did that even happen?
They originally were not going to do any promotion for it whatsoever. However, something leaked, and so they decided to at least create a trailer for it. When this came out, there were two dividing camps. Like, those of us who knew that this was a legit Lifetime movie, that they were going to be playing straight, and other people who insisted that it was a joke or it was a parody. So, I have a history of the past 5 years of getting together with my friends, Chelsea and Matt, who I happen to be house-sitting for right now, of watching Lifetime movies and basically, like, making fun of them because they're hilarious and they're awesome, right? So, of course, when A Deadly Adoption premiered, we decided to get together. Deadly Adoption is a legit Lifetime movie. Like, and the joke is that Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig play it straight almost the whole entire time through. There's only two moments where it's kind of like, huh? And that, well, three. Like, one is that Kristen Wiig makes fun of, like, people who are, like, super into organic and, like, non-gluten all the time. So in this movie, of course, she's, like, an organic baker who, like, sells, like, organic wares and stuff, which is hilarious. Two, there's a scene where, so they have a daughter who has diabetes, and there's a scene where Will Ferrell's character is, like, arguing with Kristen Wiig, who's his wife, and is, like, and says, like, the really long technical term of, like, the diabetes, where he's like, you know she has, like, atypalactic butterfly diabetes. Like, it's so funny. And then there's a part in the movie where, like, Kristen Wiig tells her friend, like, he never, like, turns on the music and, like, dances goofily around the kitchen anymore. So at the end of the movie, there's a scene that goes on, like, just a touch too long of them, like, dancing goofily around the kitchen, right? So the plot of the movie is that it's a couple. He's a successful, like, author of financial guides, and she is a successful, like, organic baker. They live in this super great Americana small town, and they have a child, but through an accident that we see in the beginning of the movie, she can no longer have kids. So they are seeking a surrogate. And they find a surrogate who they decide to move into their house. I'm not going to give away anything else because people need to watch the movie. But it was amazing. The best part of it was that if you didn't know who Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig were and you just turned it on, you would think it was a legit Lifetime movie. Like, that is the joke of it.
Yeah.
But I got really irritated with people who were like, I don't get it. Or this parody sucks. Or, like, when's it going to be funny? And it's, like, I don't know. It's like a cabin in the woods for me where it's, like, if you get it, like, you totally get it and get how brilliant it is. And, like, if you don't get it, you get, like, mad and you talk about how stupid it was. Okay. You know what I mean?
What if you're just, like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that too. But it's more, it's the thing of, like, I was so, so, so happy when I turned on the Nerdist podcast last week and they were doing a hostful and they were talking about it. And, like, Chris, Jonah, and Matt, like, totally got it where it's, like, the joke is that they played it completely straight. And, like, everybody else is, like, why would they do that? And it's one of those things where it's, like, why wouldn't they? Like, it's such, like, Lifetime movies are such a fun platform for, like, dramatic acting in the way that, like, it's so dramatic that it's hilarious. I mean, that's why, like, so many people, like, love watching Lifetime movies and making fun of it with their friends. Like, it's so fucking dramatic that, like, it's hilarious. And, like, Will Ferrell has become somebody that, like, he can do whatever he wants. Like, he can do a regional beer commercial. He can do a Spanish telenova.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's done all these really weird projects where he's like, well, let me just do this. And, like, he's been saying for years in interviews when people are like, well, what would you like to do next? Like, he's like, I want to do a Lifetime movie. And everybody has always laughed at that. And he's always just been like, no, I want to. And he finally did.
Yeah.
And, like, he did it with Kristen Wiig. And, like, it was brilliant. Like, part of, like, the best part about it was that it showed, like, legit acting chops for both of them in a way that, like, they could have easily broke any scene that they wanted to. They could have, like, camped it up, but they didn't. Like, it was just so, like, straight Lifetime. It was so great. It was brilliant. It was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'll watch it.
I think you'll like it. Like, there's enough of it where it's just, like, ha-ha funny unintentionally that, like, keeps you watching it, but it's also, like, yeah.
It's cool, though. It's interesting, because now that happened, you know, Lifetime can maybe get some
better actors. Yeah, no, like, here's the thing about Lifetime lately is that, so they've produced this show called Unreal, which is
Oh, that's right.
Yep, it's a dramatic series based on, like, Bachelor-esque reality TV shows. Which is like, it's a show that like could easily be on HBO instead. Like, it's dark. It's sexy. Like, it's almost like there's some parts of it where you're like, ooh, like this is fucking dark. And it's amazingly well acted and written. So like, they're already winning huge props for that. I will be shocked if it doesn't win an Emmy. Like, it's that good. But yeah, and then they're doing this thing with Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig, and it's just like they're knocking it out of the park. Like, whoever has come into Lifetime in the past 5 years has completely like revitalized that brand. And yeah, I will be super well. And we've already seen what's her face? I never remember her name, but she's a young actress, Bella Thorne.
Yeah,
she's starring in a Lifetime movie.
Okay,
and she's like a legitimate movie actress. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I think we're gonna start seeing more. Instead of just like B-list actors that used to be in 90210, like I think we're going to see more legitimate film stars. It's going to be like film stars doing TV, like the revolution like 10 years ago, or film stars doing HBO. Like, we're going to see them do Lifetime movies. So.
Oh, I just want to say you said HBO and shows fucking Rachel McAdams and Taylor Kitsch.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited though.
No, they're going out.
What?
They're dating. Taylor Kitsch and Rachel McAdams are dating.
Well, because Rachel McAdams is in True Detective.
He's
right
in
now,
True
right?
Detective. Is I think really? That's okay. How they met during that first season.
I'm excited.
I haven't, not the first season, but the second season.
I haven't watched the first season.
I started watching it and I was like.
I know it's fucking weird.
I know for me, I couldn't, like, after Breaking Bad ended, I just couldn't stay. I couldn't do heavy.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. My brain was totally like fucking fried. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I need a break. Nice. So someday soon, I hope, I'll be back into enjoying dramatic series, but... And I suppose just since I'm doing comedy and, like, thinking, you know, of a life where maybe I write for, you know, a television show, like, comedically, but, like...
Yeah.
That's why I kind of feel like I'm watching more comedy, probably.
Yeah.
I'm going back and watching a lot of my favorite TV comedies, you know, just to be, like...
It's really cathartic.
I like a good sitcom, because it's just, like... Mm-hmm. It's a little package.
Yeah.
Unless there's a fucking to be continued episode, which I think is a fucking dirty cheat.
It's a dirty cheat. No, thinking of that, though, I was thinking about that when I watched the trailer for the Wet Hot American Summer, the new series. Is it a series or is it just a movie on Netflix?
Series.
It's a series. Okay, excellent.
I think they're just doing one season, but you just never know.
Yeah. Because, like, that...
Showalter is bloated.
So good.
I love him.
I love that movie, but like, it's one of those things where like, I watched the preview for that and like, this is why, like, things like this is what has always gotten me so excited about like writing and comedy and like intersecting the two is like the fact that you can make a movie like this that's like a cult classic, so fucking funny, like fresh jokes every time you watch it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just like, as a person who kind of understands how entertainment goes, making movies and things like that, you watch a movie like that and they're just, it's like having like the best time with people that are fun and cool. And
yeah, just get all your friends together and be like, we're just going to make this ridiculously fun movie.
Yeah, and you're like, well, good for you. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I mean, thanks.
We could do the same thing too if we had focus and drive and passion to do it.
I may have those things.
Yeah.
Someday.
I think you will.
I know. I hope it happens soon, because...
I still want to make our Pizza Rainbow promo to the tune of, like, parroting Dawson's Creek opening credits.
This is it?
I don't want to wait.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to do all those. Do you want to talk about Real Housewives, really?
Not really. I mean, the OC... No, I really don't. Like, the OC and the NYC have started again, which I'm enjoying it, but, like, there's not a bunch to talk to. I mean, it's literally just, like, rich bitches fighting. Which I enjoy, but
yeah,
there's not much to talk about there.
I know, I can't get into some of these. I don't know why I got into Beverly Hills so much, and it's probably because of the sisters.
Oh, it's just
the fact that there's like background stuff like that, and this.
I just feel like Beverly Hills is the epitome of it, where it's just like it's legitimately like
rich.
Was it
the second one or was the third one?
First it was the OC, New York, New Jersey. Atlanta. Was Atlanta before or after New Jersey? Beverly Hills was like the last coming of it.
Isn't that crazy? You think Beverly Hills would have been first?
Yeah. Yeah, you would. But they did the OC first. And then, like, Miami was somewhere around in there. But I don't think Miami's happening anymore. And then they did a Washington, D.C., a one season of that, which was perfect timing because it was right around that time when that couple crashed the state dinner.
Oh, and they were on the show, huh?
And they were on the show. Oh, my God. Yeah, they're fucking crazy. She ended up divorcing him and running away with one of the band members of Journey.
That's how you live your life, man.
It was her previous boyfriend that she had met before she married that guy, Salid or whatever. Michelle Salid, whatever. So then she divorced him and ran away with him again. That was amazing.
Wow. You know what? I didn't know I don't know why I was doing research on Jerry Seinfeld this week, but I totally... Oh, it's because someone had posted, there was like one of those... comedy is like pretty hot right now, just in general, stand-up. Like, it's kind of just... They're covering comedy a lot.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it was Gawker or Defamer or one of them. They're like, remember that time Jerry Seinfeld went out with a 17-year-old girl?
Yeah.
Went out with a high school chick or something like that?
Was it Shoshana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? She was a fucking babe.
She was a babe. And she started a legitimately awesome clothing line, too, yeah, for big-breasted boobs.
Yeah. She was beautiful.
Yeah.
She was lovely. I get it. I don't care.
I do, too.
17, age of consent.
Yeah, because, and that happened around the time that John started dating Carolyn Bessette. Because I remember they all went to the park one day to play Frisbee together.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Speaking of, not really, but before I forget. So there was recently an interview with Amy Schumer, and she was with Bill Hader, and they were promoting Trainwreck, which is coming out soon. But she was asked, would she ever do The Bachelorette? And she basically said yes, they would have to offer her the right amount of money and she'd have to like play it real. She's like, I'd have to do it my way where like I get to be myself. But it was kind of this thing of like, this could happen. Like they have enough money. They could offer her whatever amount she wanted because they would make that back like tenfold for that season. I want it to happen so bad. I'm putting it out to the universe and like manifesting
They've
it every day.
They've never done a celebrity.
They've never, but she would be perfect. She would be the perfect first person. They've never done one, but there's been rumblings about wanting to do one. Like John Mayer went on Ellen once and like they were talking about how much he loved the show. And she's like, would you take a meeting if they wanted you to be the Bachelor? And he's like, well, I would have to. He's like, I'd have to take the meeting. And he's like, I probably wouldn't do it, but he's like, I would seriously think about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I want it to happen so bad. That'd be so amazing.
I mean, if you think that Caitlyn's season is different, like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, these... Handling, like, a female... Not handling, but dating a female comedian, like...
I was thinking about that. Like, it'd be really, really interesting kind of guys
how they handle it.
Would come out. Yeah, because Caitlyn had, like, a huge... reputation on Chrissy's season for like being super funny and being a really cool girl. Like that's what every guy says about her that's on the show, is like she's super funny, she's super cool. And like I think it does bring out a certain type of guy. I don't know, like it either brings out guys who are like super super comfortable with themselves,
and have to be,
yeah, or like guys like Sean where he's not a showboater but he's got a very quiet confidence. But then you also get guys like, I don't know. Who's
like
another
Sean.
Guy?
Come on.
No. But yeah, it would be. Or like JJ, who thinks he's hilarious and like he's the dumbest person ever.
Oh, JJ, you're so stupid.
You're so dumb.
I love.
Oh my God. Cheating on his wife.
I love that tweet, that Astroglide tweet.
Me too.
That was amazing.
Astroglide is becoming one of my favorite live tweeters of The Bachelorette. Like they're hilarious. It's amazing. They tweeted my blog recap a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
And then, of course, like, boom, like, that recap went viral. So, thanks, Astro Guide. I love you. Maybe you should sponsor this podcast. We would love to have you.
Oh, God, that'd be perfect.
That'd be amazing.
Ooh.
And if you watch The Bachelorette and you follow Astro Guide and follow their live tweets, during the show, they tweet a link where you can get free samples of lube.
Oh, nice.
Which is real nice.
I tend to... always use Astroglide. So that would be perfect.
I will someday in my life, I will be able to use that. Probably not this year, but. But yeah, anyways, so that's exciting. That's kind of fun. I don't know.
All right, we got to power. We have to power through the most important detail. Game of Thrones finale.
Of Thrones.
How many episodes actually, like, did we miss in our break?
Who cares? Jon Snow's dead.
I don't think we did. I think our last episode, did we talk about the finale on the last episode, or was
it
like...
I don't think it had happened yet.
Okay.
Or did it?
Because when did
No, it didn't happen. We were talking about poor Shireen.
Oh.
I think.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We talked about Shireen a lot. Okay, how so, broken
so we just
we
missed the final. That's the only one that we missed.
Yeah. And then next season, the what's his name? Well, whatever. That's not going to happen either. Because fucking Baratheon, Stannis is fucking dead.
Yeah.
Rightly so, you piece of shit.
That was a fitting end for Stannis Baratheon. And for what's her face? I'm glad that she got to kill him. No, the...
Oh, yes, of course.
The chick knight. The lady knight.
I love her.
I do too. Yeah, it was a satisfying finale, I feel like.
Yeah, it was. I mean, is Jon Snow dead?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got stabbed sure enough times.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen because it happened in the books.
Yeah.
I really thought... So Miranda is probably one of my top five favorite characters of the series. I love the way the actress played that character. She's so, like, sickly sweet and, like, psychotic. I just thought she was really fascinating that way. Like, it was just this, like, I don't like you, but, like, I'm mesmerized by you. Her dying the way that she did, I was like, fuck, yes. But it was sad, too, because I'm like, you're one of my favorite characters, and now you're dead. Like, she needed to die that way.
How did she die, by the way? It took so long ago.
What's his face?
Theon?
Yeah, Theon. Ended up pushing her over a balcony, and she fell to her death. It was amazing.
But then they jump. Are they
there? Jump, yeah. Except there's snow on the ground.
Okay.
So hopefully...
Oh, they
either
just
way.
Threw her right over onto the ground.
Yeah. Because she was going to shoot... why can't I remember anybody's name?
We're losing it. We should have talked about Game of Thrones 2 hours ago.
What's her fucking name? The redhead.
Sansa.
Yes, Sansa.
Jesus.
She was going to shoot Sansa, like, maim her or something. She wasn't going to kill her, but she was going to, like, shoot her in the arm or whatever. And then Theon Greyjoy, like, grabbed her.
So
and-
Theon's coming back. There's a little Theon left
Theon
in there.
Theon and Sansa should be coming back a little bit.
Yeah,
if
I
remember correctly.
At the end of the day, I mean, he's never going to be the same. He's never going to be like Theon
never.
Again.
No.
But there's still a part of that left, because otherwise he wouldn't even help Sansa at all.
Yeah. What I know happens next in the books is a very interesting plot twist, and I hope it happens in the show. The one thing that Jason Patoshka... A really good friend. Well, not a really good friend. He's an old friend of mine. And we tweet each other all the time about different stuff. But so I was talking about the finale. And he came up with a really good theory that I'm like, oh, God, that'd be so great.
Do you think that they really meant to, when Jon Snow's laying in the snow and then he's bleeding, that it's supposed to be like a dragon wing?
Like I didn't notice that, actually.
I read a recap on it where they're like, oh, did you notice this?
Jason's theory and what I would really like to happen is that he comes back as either one of the White Walkers. But there's a certain name for him, though. The captain ones.
Okay.
As one of those. Or in the books, that that roving band of... God damn it! His mom, basically in the book, she becomes like... She gets risen from the dead by this like roving band of mystics or whatever. Lord something. But yeah, Jason's theory is that he comes back. He gets brought back to life by that guy.
Well, because he's... The backstory secretly is that he's a Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so secretly a Targaryen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what Jason said too. So I think it's going to happen, though. I think he's going to like come back to life somehow. In some form.
Yeah.
Kind of has to. He has dragon blood.
The show's going to be on forever.
I hope so. I just want Arya. I want more Arya.
Oh, God, she got to fuck that guy up. That felt good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
But then she got punished.
I know, but it turns out well later.
Is she going to stay blind?
She's going to be fine.
Okay.
It's part of her
training.
Mm-hmm.
He would never do that to her.
I think it's like, it's a really weird love affair in a way.
That's
like,
what I was going
like
to say.
A paternal love affair. Like, he's hard on her, but he would never, I don't think he would ever harm her. Yeah. He's my
I
favorite.
I hope he harms that other bitch. God, I hate her guts. She's such a fucking jerk. She's such a brat.
She's a brat. She's very good at what she's doing, though.
She's really good, though, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways, I'm really excited for the next season, though. Because that'll be real good.
Yeah, when's that going to happen? 2 fucking years? The season, the time between Game of Thrones seasons is painfully
it's
long.
It's like a year, at least, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and then it's only 10 episodes.
I know. It's bullshit. Yeah.
It's not long
enough. Daenerys goes back to the, the grass people?
The grass people.
Khal Drogo's people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
they accept. Do we know if they kind of accept?
No, they hate her.
They're gonna. Oh, so they're probably gonna kill her.
Something's gonna happen.
They're gonna do something.
It's not good. Basically, like that scene is basically like, oh shit.
Yeah. Well, and her dragon is dying.
Yeah, I know. Well, no. It just needed
He's
rest.
Just really wounded.
He just needed rest.
Okay, good.
Yeah, just
well, good. Well, he
that.
Should rest up quick and fucking burn those dicks to a crisp. What the fuck are they called? She's a Khaleesi.
Yeah.
Well, she was. But you know, once a Khaleesi, always a Khaleesi.
Yeah, what were they called? Because it was Khal Drogo and Khaleesi. And people who are listening to this are like, God damn it.
Oh my God, this is going to be the most irritating episode ever.
Daenerys. I can't even spell it. I didn't even drink anything before this.
Mm-mm. You had some coffee, so maybe you're just too amped.
Let's see.
Dothraki. Boom. Yes.
The Dothrakis are gonna rock her face off some way, shape, or form.
It's probably not gonna be good.
It might not be. Or it could be the best thing that ever happened to her.
They could be like, you know what?
We're real sorry about trying to burn you in that fire before.
Yeah. That was pretty cool what you did. It was right above it. You really did make lemonade out of lemons. Or dragons out of dragon eggs.
Horse meat out of horses. Good job. Wow. A leather purse out of horse meat.
No, that's amazing. That's why I stopped, because I was like, yes. Man, you really managed to make a leather purse out of horse meat there. Oh my God. I think so on that note, we're fucking strong.
I think, yeah, we're at about a little past an hour.
We're back, America.
We're back, guys.
Happy 4th of July.
Sorry for leaving you for so long, but baby, we had to like do some work on ourselves first.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to work a lot.
I had to drink.
That's good.
Yeah.
I had to work a lot, and I had to spend a lot of time at home in getting my office together.
Yep, and which you love.
Maybe doing some. I wasn't drinking. I was mellowing out.
Doing some other stuff.
I was mellowing out, and I had worked on like a schedule. I'd come home and I'd wash the dishes, and do some chores, and I'd mellow out. And I would typically make a pizza, and then I would write,
as most people do when they mellow out.
It was just relaxing.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Nothing, Mom.
But yeah. I mean, I have to go back and reread it all and edit it, but just like, speak through me, Jesus.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I've been doing that. So there's this book that I've been working on for the past 5 fucking years. And it's one of those books where it's like, it's going to take a while to finish. But I literally had a moment a few days ago where I'm like, okay, if this is like, I feel really deeply that like, I will not get Craigslist kilt until this book is over, because like there's something about my life that like needs to like do this book. Like it's like my life purpose, right?
Next to you know for sure that's how you're gonna die is get
no,
Craigslist.
No, what
Craigslist
I mean is
murder?
Like I can't die until this book is done.
Okay.
So yeah. So but it was this moment where I'm just like, God, I have to finish this book, but like it's so like complicated and long, and like it's always that thing of like, how do you start it and like how do you do it and like plotting it out. And I literally just sat back and was like, okay, if this is my soul's purpose, then I'm just going to do the thing where I'm like, okay, if you want me to do this book, universe, then you need to just like speak through me and just like do it for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every single time I do that, it like, I always come up with a really great idea. I always like get a really good flow. Like there's a certain, I think it's Ariana.
It's the artist's way in real life practice.
Kind of. There's a different author though.
Ariana Grande?
Ford. No, it's Ariana Ford. I think it is.
Okay.
I'll look that up. But she has this really
is it
cool
Ariel?
Book. Ariel Ford. Yeah, she's the one who does the Soulmate Secret.
Okay, got it.
But she has a really cool prayer that she put in one of her books about, like,
yeah, it's
God, Goddess, and universe, like, speak through me, help me. It's supposed to be, like, for your soulmate, but, like, I created it for, like, writing of, like, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I've been doing that, and it's been working really well.
You can incorporate that in lots of ways.
Yeah, totally.
But hashtag it's weird because, Menopause Monday is what?
But I feel like, I don't know, it's, like, as a writer, it's really hard to describe it to people who aren't. I mean, I think maybe this happens with people who are, like, are in other creative art forms.
Yeah.
But it's this feeling of, like, when you know you've got something, like, it's such an incredible, indescribable feeling. Like, when you're writing, you're like, I think I got something here. Like, to me, it's like I compare the way that people get excited about having a baby to how I feel about, like, a book that I'm like, this is it. Like, this is really good. It's crazy. Amazing.
Yeah.
The best.
All right.
It's not better than sex, but it's on the level.
It's on the par. It's on par.
Sex. Yeah.
It's no, on it's fleek. I just, every time I say that, I just want to take it back. It's like the don't make me say it.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up.
I had a lovely time.
Me too. This is super fun.
All right. Well, everybody have a great 4th of July, unless this goes up after 4th of July, to which I hope you had a wonderful time and did not blow your hand off.
Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Pizza Rainbow. For this and other great podcasts, you can check us out at mathishard.net, or you can visit us at iTunes, where you can subscribe, rate, and review us.
And for more of Jen Paulson, you can check her out at Tiger Beat Poet on Twitter. You can also follow her on Instagram at Jen June Paulson. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can check me out at Amber_L Carter, or you can check out my website at amberlcarter.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you again next week.
Bye.